What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful song, what a wonderful message. I love Communion Sundays, opportunity to stop and to remember, to stop and to celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us, His finished work on the cross of Calvary. Today I want to begin a series over the next number of Communion Sundays that will deal with the words of Jesus from the cross. As He suffered for those 6 horrible hours, He uttered powerful and very important words as He hung there, paying the penalty of our sins. And what we'll do is we'll follow an order that we see in the harmony of the Gospel. So today's cry from the cross is found in Luke chapter 23, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them." Philip Yancey shares the moving story of a family in Paraguay. The father, a doctor, spoke out against a military regime and its human rights abuses in that country. And local police took their revenge. They kidnapped his son, arrested him, and then had him tortured to death. All the townspeople were up in arms and they wanted to make a big public protest march. But that's not what the father wanted to do. The father decided to have a different means of protest. At the funeral, he had his son's body displayed just as they had found it in the jail. Naked, scarred from electric shocks, cigarette burns, and beatings. As the villagers filed past the body, it was not in a coffin, but on the blood-soaked mattress from the prison. It was the strongest protest imaginable. And Yancey poses this question. He asks, "Isn't that what God did at Calvary? Isn't that what God did at Calvary? The cross that held Jesus' body naked and marked with scars exposed all the violence of this world. And at once, the cross revealed what kind of world we have and what kind of God we have. We have a world of gross injustice and a God of sacrificial love." From Jesus' first statement from the cross, we learn this very important truth. There is forgiveness at the cross. There is forgiveness at the cross of Christ. So let me share with you this morning 3 reasons why forgiveness of sins is found at the cross. First, Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Look with me at Luke chapter 23. And verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Who is this Jesus who hung on the cross and prayed for the forgiveness of His enemies? I want to be very clear this morning that Jesus was more than a good teacher. Jesus was more than a social activist or a religious leader. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. There's only one true God, but in the unity of the Godhead, there are 3 co-eternal and co-equal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. That is a fundamental belief of the Christian faith. And the Trinity is so mind-boggling that there is no way that a human mind could have invented it. It is divinely revealed to us in the Word of God. Notice Jesus' words in the Great Commission. Jesus says this, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Did you notice the baptismal formula? We're to go and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity there linked in unity, linked in equality. And the deity of Christ is also plain there. As God, Jesus is omnipotent. He has been given all authority on heaven or on earth and in heaven. Jesus is omnipresent. He will be with us always to the very end of the age. These attributes are attributes of God. And they're also given to Jesus here. They're also possessed by Jesus, revealed to us in the Scriptures. Jesus was and is and will always be God. That's the deity of Christ. Now, there are many who refuse to embrace that fundamental Christian doctrine. Listen to the words of renowned atheist Richard Dawkins, the author of The God Delusion. He says, "How is it that the Creator of the universe, the God who devised the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the physical constants, could not think of a better way to rid the world of sin than to come to this little speck of cosmic dust and have Himself tortured and executed so that he could forgive? That is profoundly unscientific. Not only is it unscientific, but it doesn't do justice to the grandeur of the universe. Why would God bother entering into our small and broken planet?" he asks. And then he chides, he ridicules all Christians for believing in that kind of God. Church, listen, don't you ever, ever be ashamed of believing in that kind of God who is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Consider the truth of the Bible, words breathed out by God Himself, John chapter 1 and verse 1. Where the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." And verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Think about these words of Paul from Philippians 2 and verse 5. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In Colossians 1, Paul writes this, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." Jesus has been God. Jesus was God before the creation of the world, before He Himself spoke the world into existence. His birth was different than all other births. Because you see, Jesus was born of a virgin. He was supernaturally placed in the womb of Mary by the Spirit of God. And that supernatural conception points to the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. Jesus entered into our small and broken planet by becoming a man, setting aside all the rights and honors of deity. He humbled Himself, took on the form of a servant, was made in human likeness. Jesus was fully God and fully man. He never stopped being God. And Jesus' life was different from all other lives. The Bible says God made Him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So from birth to death, Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned in thought or in word or in deed. He was perfectly sinless in every way. Even at His trial, Pilate had to openly confess that "I can find no fault in this man." No fault. Jesus is the only one in all of human history qualified to deal with our sin problem. And Jesus' death was different than all other deaths. Jesus humbled Himself in obedience to the Father, and He died that humiliating and excruciating death on a cross to redeem the world. But that death was determined beforehand. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. You see, before sin ever entered into the world, God had a plan in place to deal with that sin. Every act of God, there is one will. Creation and the incarnation, the resurrection, salvation, all of that is accomplished by the Trinity in unity. So there was a plan in place. Jesus was not killed by sinful men. Jesus Himself said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take my life up again. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. That's why forgiveness is found at the cross of Christ. The second reason why forgiveness of sins is found at the cross is because Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God. In our context in Luke 23, Jesus has just endured a humiliating mock trial. He has just endured scourging with a whip, a leather whip with pieces of metal and bone attached. He was stripped naked and attached to a pole and whipped within an inch of His life. Jesus has just endured the ridicule and the taunting of having the crown of thorns placed on His head, wearing the purple robe and given the scepter. And Jesus has just endured the nails through His wrists and His feet. And as He hangs there on the cross, He presses up by His feet and His arms, and the pain is agonizing. And He forms His lips and He speaks these words in Luke 23 and verse 34. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." I hope you're grasping the gravity of those words, because in a moment, Jesus could have spoke a powerful word and obliterated all of His enemies and sent them on to eternal punishment in a moment by speaking a word. But what does Jesus do? He prays for His enemies. Jesus is there hanging on the cross and He's praying for His enemies. That's fulfillment of a prophecy found in Isaiah 53, where the prophet says, "He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The people hurl insults at Jesus. Jesus prays for them. The people cry out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus is putting into practice the very things He taught His followers. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let's not forget that apart from the love of Christ, apart from being in Christ, we're enemies of God. Every person born into this world is born with a sin nature. Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that one man is Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all have sinned." So when Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, he took on sin. He took on a sin nature, and then he passed down that inherent sin nature all the way down through the ages to where each one of us is a sinner by nature. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just take a look around at the world around us. There's so much hatred, so much immorality, and so much disobedience. Stop and take a look at your own heart. I'll stop and take a look at my heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. So sin extends to every part of human nature. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The paycheck for sin is death. We all will die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But if a person dies in their sins without Christ, then they'll experience what is called the spiritual death. God is holy. God is just. He cannot tolerate sin in His presence. And sin brings us under the wrath of a holy God. The first death is physical. Second death is spiritual. Eternal punishment in a literal, a real place called the lake of fire under the wrath of a holy God. Notice Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, what Paul tells us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So apart from Christ, each one of us is an enemy of God. Each one of us is deserving of His wrath. But praise God for the cross. Let's go back to the cross again. Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them." Jesus did not die for His own sin. Jesus had no sin to die for. Death had no grip on Jesus. He died for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was our substitute. He took our place. He bore the wrath of God that we deserved. Consider Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus as the Lamb of God. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Look how Peter says it in 1 Peter 2. He Himself, that's Jesus, bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. So through the sacrificial death of His Son, God can be both just and merciful. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And if you think back to the Old Testament, there was the lamb that was offered in the daily sacrifices. What that lamb did, it provided a temporary covering of sin. What it did is it pointed to a holy God and it revealed the seriousness of man's sin. So daily sacrifices were being made with the lamb. But the true purpose of the sacrificial lamb was to point forward to the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. Consider the words of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. Day after day, in that old sacrificial system, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, speaking of Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. We are powerless against our sin. There is absolutely nothing we can do to earn God's favor. No righteous deed we can do. In fact, all of our good deeds are rubbish in the eyes of a holy God. This is why Jesus had to die in the place of His enemies. Jesus was perfect for us. We can't be perfect. We're sinners. And Jesus was perfect for us. He lived that perfect life that we could not live. He died that perfect death for us, a once for all sacrifice for sins, that we could not die for ourselves. And then He rose again in a perfect resurrection from us. The Bible says, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The Bible also says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through repentance, turning away from our sin, and faith, turning to Jesus Christ, trusting in His death and resurrection for our sins, we are declared righteous by God. We are forgiven all of our sins, and we are supplied the infinite righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a transaction. The finished work of Jesus satisfied the holy demands of God and brought peace. Some people have a hard time accepting this truth concerning forgiveness of sins. I think about Barry Bonds. There's this cloud of doubt hanging over Barry Bonds and home run number 756, that one that broke the record. Because Bonds allegedly used steroids all throughout his career. Because of this, many people think that his name in the record books ought to have an asterisk next to it, meaning that his record is tainted. So a man, Mark Echo, he bought the ball that Barry Bonds hit to set that record. Then he put out a poll on the internet. What should I do with this ball? He got back all the fans' responses, and they said, you need to brand it with an asterisk and send it on to the Baseball Hall of Fame. So in 2008, that's exactly what Mark Echo did. As I think about that, I think about our names, and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no asterisk next to your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, for many people, it's easy to understand that all the sins that they've committed leading up to the point where they received Jesus Christ have been taken care of. But so many people struggle with the sins that they commit after that moment, the sins that they commit throughout the Christian life. You will have no peace in the Christian life until you settle that, until you realize you did nothing to earn your salvation and you can do absolutely nothing to keep your salvation. I read an amazing thing that I never come across before this week, a profound statement. It's this: were not all your sins still future when Jesus died? What a great thought. Were not all your sins still future when Jesus died? Think about that. When Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. You weren't even born yet. You'd never committed a sin at that point. The sacrifice of Jesus provides forgiveness of every sin, past, present, and future. In Christ, we are fully, completely, and eternally forgiven everything. If we can grasp that, man, we can live in that peace. We can live in the freedom of that truth, the amazing truth of forgiveness. So there's forgiveness at the cross because Jesus is the sinless Son of God. There is forgiveness at the cross because Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God. And finally, there's forgiveness at the cross because Jesus is the sympathetic Son of Man. Look back at our text one more time. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus said, they do not know what they're doing. But let's be clear, those who crucified Jesus that day knew what it meant. They knew all the harsh realities of this form of execution. What they didn't understand was the enormity of the sin that they were committing. They were crucifying Messiah. They were crucifying the Word made flesh. They were crucifying the Son of God. The Old Testament prophecies were clear, and ignorance was no excuse for them. They were fully and personally responsible for rejecting the Messiah on that day. When Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, it's not as if forgiveness was automatically provided, because we know that forgiveness comes by grace, yes, but also through faith in the Lord Jesus. In His Gospel, Luke stresses the humanity of Jesus and also reveals Jesus as the Savior of the world. In other words, He is the sympathetic Son of Man. The writer of Hebrews describes it this way, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Jesus Himself said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus' prayer was answered. That prayer from the cross, Father, forgive them. He was answered when He turned to the criminal next to Him and said, today you will be with Me in paradise. It was answered when the soldier at the foot of the cross praised God and said, surely this was the Son of God. And then it was answered sometime after this when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel and he told the people, you acted in ignorance when you crucified Messiah. Same words as Jesus. You did not know what you were doing. And the people were cut to the heart. And 3,000 people trusted in Jesus Christ that day. Did you know that Jesus prayed for you long before you ever believed? He did that, John chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus is praying. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone." He's praying to the Father. He's speaking of the prayer He had for His disciples. Then He prays this, "I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message." That's us. Jesus prayed for us before we ever believed. And we're all without excuse. God has fully revealed Himself to us in His Word. He has fully revealed the way of salvation in His Word. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We cannot plead ignorance. This morning, everyone has heard the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Forgiveness requires repentance and faith. What will you do with Jesus today? When Peter was asked by Jesus, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" I love Peter's response. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Every one of us here this morning has to answer that question. Who do you say I am? And the way we respond either shows that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or we reject Him as the Messiah. I read the gripping story of how the gospel came to a people group in northern Cambodia. In September 1999, a Cambodian pastor was traveling through northern Cambodia and came across a bunch of villages where the name of Buddha was revered, came across some villages where there was spiritism. But then he came across one small rural village where he was warmly embraced, and they embraced this message about Jesus. When he asked the villagers about their openness to the gospel, an old woman shuffled forward to him, bowed down and grabbed his hand and said, "We have been waiting for you for 20 years. You see, back in the 70s, a brutal communist-led regime took over Cambodia and destroyed everything in its path. When the soldiers finally came upon this little rural village in northern Cambodia, they immediately rounded up all the people and forced them to dig their own graves. After they finished digging those graves, the people began to cry out. Some cried out to Buddha, others cried out to the spirits, and some cried out to their ancestors. But one of the women started to cry out for help based on a childhood memory. It was a story her mother had told her about a God who had hung on a cross. The woman prayed to that unknown God on a cross, and suddenly her solitary cry became one great wail as everyone began to cry out to this God who had hung on a cross. And that wailing slowly lowered down into a quiet crying. And there was a strange silence in the jungle air, and when they got the confidence, the courage to turn around and face their captors, they realized that they were gone. As the woman finished telling this story, she told the pastor that ever since that day, 20 years ago, they had all been waiting for someone to come and to share the rest of the story about the God who hung on a cross. Friends, God in His grace has given you another opportunity this morning to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. Who is He to you? Who is Jesus to you this morning? There's forgiveness at the cross because Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He is indeed the sacrificial Lamb of God, and He is the sympathetic Son of Man. If you've never acknowledged your sin and turned to the Savior, I urge you, don't wait any longer. Stop putting it off. God has given you another opportunity, and the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Salvation by grace through faith is available now at this very moment to anyone who will repent and believe in Christ. And Christians, man, what a joy to know our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We are completely forgiven. All of our sins, past, present, and future. That's something to celebrate this morning. That's something to celebrate as we partake of communion. I encourage you, rejoice because you are forgiven. Let's rejoice together. I want to share with you a song by Crowder here called Forgiven. It shares that powerful message that we are forgiven. So please prepare your hearts as you take in these lyrics. Prepare your hearts for us to partake of the bread and the juice this morning. Church, we're forgiven. What a wonderful thing that we can celebrate together this morning. Jesus took our place, paid the penalty for our sins, and by His blood, we can experience forgiveness of sins. That's what this morning is all about. These elements are just symbols. They're symbolic of the death of Christ for us, His body, the bread, and His blood, the juice here. They're symbolic of the death of Christ, stopping and remembering the significance of what He's done for us. This does nothing to contribute to your salvation this morning. Salvation is by grace through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness. This is a celebration, a remembrance. So this is for believers in Jesus Christ. And if you're with us from another church that practices closed communion, the idea that only church members should partake of communion, we honor that and respect that this morning. Just pass the elements along. But if you're a visitor from another church and you want to partake of communion with us, we're the body of Christ. We love Jesus. We want to celebrate together. So I encourage you to partake with us this morning. The Bible makes it very clear that before we partake, we ought to examine ourselves. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Take a minute or so and to search our heart. Allow God to dig deep and penetrate our hearts and to reveal to us any unconfessed sin. We want to take that before the Lord. I just remember the significance of what we're doing. This is the death of Christ for us. So let's take a moment and let's search our hearts and see if there's anything we need to take to the Lord this morning. If the men who are helping serve this morning, if you all would please stand. I'd like to ask Bill Harvey, would you please offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the body of Jesus?
Father, we just thank You this morning for... We just want to acknowledge that Your ways are above our ways and perfect. You are perfectly righteous and good and trustworthy. And Lord, as Dan prayed, we are helpless, powerless to save ourselves, but we just thank You through eternity past. You had Your eye on each of us, and You made a provision, a way through Your shed blood on the cross and that agony. And Lord, You made a way that we could be saved, and You call us sons and daughters. And we just approach Your table with gratitude for that this morning, knowing that that is the only provision for that. And Lord, I just pray for anyone this morning here who does not know the reality of that in their own life, that they would settle that question before they leave today. And Lord, we just praise You and thank You for, as Your word says, Your indescribable gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to His disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is My body." Men, if you'd please stand again. And Brad Garrett, would you please lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the blood of Jesus?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love, for Your unconditional love, Lord. We thank You for the great gift of salvation that You've given us. We just thank You so much for the shed blood, for without it, there is no salvation. We ask now that we remember that, Lord, every day of our lives. And we just continue to do the will that You have laid out for us. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Christ.
Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What a wonderful time remembering and celebrating the Lord's death together. Let's sing a last song together, just again to celebrate, to praise God, to thank the Lord for what He's done. And let me say this, if maybe you've been putting it off and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've heard the message, the truth about Jesus, and now you've seen it represented here in the bread and the juice, and the Holy Spirit is at work on your heart, I encourage you, as this song plays, come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And after the song, we'll also have counselors up here who'd love to sit and pray with you and talk with you about that as well. Would everyone please stand together?
I want to read to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. It says this, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." What a joy it is to serve such a great God, and it's all because of such a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You are dismissed.